I invite you to open your Bibles to the book of Mark, Mark chapter 1. But I want to begin with a passage that we highlighted this morning from the book of Matthew. Peter had just made the great confession that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus' response to that was, "And upon this rock, the rock of that confession, I will build my church. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom." And as we said this morning, those keys of the kingdom would be the keys that would unlock the door, if you will, for those who would heed and obey the message to enter into the kingdom of God, the church. Acts chapter 2, we find Peter offering those keys to those Jews that were listening and were receptive to the message of Jesus. They were cut to the heart when they heard the message, and they cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And Peter gets the keys out. "This is what you must do. Repent to be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." About 3,000 used those keys, unlocked the door, they entered into the kingdom. So the keys of the kingdom, a crucial part of that, in response to what Jesus has done for us on the cross, is baptism for the forgiveness of our sins. If that is the case, why was Jesus baptized? Why was Jesus baptized? If we repent and are baptized for the forgiveness of our sins, why was Jesus baptized? As we read about it in Mark chapter 1, we find that it came at the height of John's ministry. John, as we had read earlier in chapter 1, his ministry was to prepare the way for the Lord. And part of that included baptism, the baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. It was at the height of John's ministry, after which it began to decline. But it's at the beginning, the inauguration of Jesus' earthly ministry here at his baptism. But there's two questions I'd like to particularly highlight and seek to answer this evening. Why was Jesus baptized? But also, does his baptism reveal the purpose for Christian baptism? For the baptism of the New Testament, the Great Commission, the baptism of the Great Commission. First of all, look with me, Mark 1, beginning of verse 9, concerning the baptism of Jesus. Notice what Mark says about it. "It came to pass in those days that Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan." Jesus came from Nazareth. I looked up a map and found one to share with you. Nazareth will recognize as the town where Jesus grew up. And it was about midway between the Mediterranean Sea and the southern tip of the Sea of Galilee. But it was his hometown. And now he's about 30 years old, and he makes this journey from Nazareth, and many believe it to be, well, one writer suggests 100 miles, 70 to 100 miles, depending on the route that Jesus took, from Nazareth down to the place in the Jordan River where John was baptizing. And he comes to this place where to be baptized by John. John chapter 1 tells us that it was in Bethabara. Bethany across the Jordan appears to be the meaning of this term. And that's the way this particular map portrayed it. It was on the other side of the Jordan from Jericho and Jerusalem, that side. So it was near the other side of the Jordan, near Bethabara. This is where John was baptizing. This is where Jesus came to be baptized by John. We find next that the Spirit descends upon Jesus. Mark 1 verse 10. "Immediately coming up from the water," and here is another indication that in addition to the meaning of the word baptism, coming up out of the water also signifies that this was indeed immersion. "He comes up out of the water, and he saw the heavens parting and the Spirit descending upon him like a dove." I noticed in the English Standard Version, when it says the heavens were parting, the ESV says they were being torn open. I imagine this was a majestic sight. The clouds being rolled back, if you will, And here comes the Holy Spirit descending, Luke tells us, in bodily form like a dove upon Jesus. Here is the Holy Spirit bearing testimony of Jesus. But also the Father speaks. There's a voice from heaven, verse 11. Then a voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So not only does the Holy Spirit bear testimony of the identity of Jesus, the Father makes it clear, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." So now to the questions. Why then was Jesus baptized? Obviously, it was not for the same reason other people were being baptized by John. It wasn't for the same reason. Again, you look up a few verses to verse 4. John came baptizing in the wilderness and preaching a baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Verse 5 tells us that those who were baptized by John also confessed their sins. And you see, Jesus, the sinless Son of God, would not need to be baptized for any of those reasons. He had no sins of which to repent. He had no sins to confess. He certainly didn't need to be baptized for the forgiveness of his sins. Jesus was without sin. The Hebrew writer says, "We do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin." So if John was baptizing for the forgiveness of sins, why was Jesus baptized? This is an occasion where, if we look at all of the gospel accounts, we find more information to find the rest of the story, if you will. So we look to Matthew chapter 3, and notice Matthew's account and what is said. Jesus came from Galilee, this is Matthew 3 verse 13, to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John tried to prevent him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you. Are you coming to me?" I don't know how much John knew about who Jesus really was at this point. I believe John knew a lot. He had known a lot from childhood, because they were related. And he knew that there was something special, incredibly special about Jesus. But we're also going to see that God confirmed Jesus' identity specifically for John, who was preparing the way for the Lord. But John sees Jesus coming to him and says, "Listen, I don't need to baptize you. You need to baptize me." Jesus answered and said to him, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." Then he allowed him. Then John baptized Jesus. But why was Jesus baptized? Notice Jesus' words, "Permit it to be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness." There's the answer. Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. I appreciated Wayne Jackson's comments on Jesus' words here. He said, "Perhaps we cannot plumb the full depth of this abbreviated clause. But one thing is certain, though. It is an affirmation of the submissive disposition of the Lord Jesus to the Father's will." You put it in its historical context. John was coming on the scene. He's preparing the way for Jesus. And part of that preparation is not only telling others about the one who is to come, but baptizing them for the forgiveness of their sins in the baptism of repentance in view of the coming Messiah. It was the Father's will that those who heard John's message be obedient and be baptized by John. Luke chapter 7, Luke gives us this insight. It's in parentheses here. "But all the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts in the law rejected God's purpose for themselves because they had not been baptized by John." They rejected God's will by refusing to be baptized by John. It was the will of God, or you might say, it was the right thing to do to be baptized by John in view of the coming Messiah. So why was Jesus baptized? To fulfill all righteousness. Jesus was willing to set the right example by doing the Father's will, something he delighted to do. This gets me into trouble sometimes, but I don't like to ask anyone to do anything that I'm not willing to not only to do, but to help do. As long as I'm physically able, for example, when I ask many of you to, as I've done many times, to help me move somebody, help me unload a moving truck, I don't like to ask you, and I want you to know this, unless I'm willing and able to go help unload the truck. As long as I'm physically able, I want to do that. There may come a time when I say, Mr. G, can you do this for me? Because I can't anymore. And I thought about that and that type of scenario. Jesus is coming to be baptized by John. It's not for the same purpose that you and I need to be baptized into Christ. It's not for the forgiveness of our sins. But Jesus seems here to be demonstrating. He's setting the example. I'm not going to ask you to do anything that I'm not willing to do myself. And I'm going to show you by my example that this is indeed the will of God. It was the will of God for those who were looking for the Messiah, who were listening to John as he's preparing the way for the Lord. It was the right way. It was God's way for them to accept that message and to be baptized. Jesus is setting the right example, again, by doing the Father's will. He's demonstrating by his baptism on the very first day of his public ministry that he was committed to doing his Father's will. In that regard, as in all others, he is our perfect example. He's leading by example, if you will, to fulfill all righteousness. But again, in order to get the full story, we have to look at the other gospel accounts. I want to go with you to John chapter 1 for a moment. There's another reason why there's some other significance to Jesus' baptism here and what happened after he was baptized. As you know, as we've been saying, John the Baptist, the baptizer, had been proclaiming that Jesus was coming. He is preparing the way for the Lord. In John chapter 1, verse 29 beginning, we find these words. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, 'After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me.' I did not know him." Underscore that statement. "I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, 'I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him.' I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, 'Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God.'" Twice in that passage, we find John saying, "I did not know him." And the idea here is that prior to the phenomenal events at the Jordan, at the baptism of Jesus, John did not know fully just who Jesus was and that he was, in fact, the Messiah. This was God's divine confirmation. He had told John, "The one upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining upon him, this is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit." And so when it happens, when John, you know, at first he doesn't want to baptize Jesus. He thinks it ought to be the other way around. But when he does baptize Jesus, immerses Jesus into the Jordan River, and then the Spirit descends from heaven in bodily form like a dove, and the Father speaks from heaven, Here is that what he had been told would happen. When you see the Spirit descending upon him and remaining upon him, then you will know that this is the one I've been telling you about, the one who will baptize with the Holy Spirit. At the conclusion, this is John's testimony. I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. Jesus was baptized to do God's will, to set that example of obedience, and to publicly identify him to John and hence to Israel. Second question. Does his baptism explain the purpose of our baptism? Some refer to Jesus' baptism to explain the purpose of Christian baptism, and they reach these kind of conclusions. Well, Jesus wasn't baptized for the forgiveness of sins, so that's not the purpose of our baptism. Jesus wasn't baptized for the forgiveness of sins. It was a public profession of one's faith. Therefore, that's the reason for our baptism. Comparing it to Jesus' baptism, identifies our relation to Christ, just as Jesus' baptism publicly introduced him to Israel. So you can see some conclusions that some have reached, saying that Jesus' baptism does explain the purpose of our baptism. However, when we look at the Scriptures, we find that Christian baptism is for the remission of sins. We cited Acts 2:38. Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, for the forgiveness of sins. Ananias said to Saul, "Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Baptism is for the remission of sins. Christian baptism is a union with Christ in his death. Paul says, "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead, even so we also should walk in newness of life." By the way, as you look at those, and particularly in the book of Acts, who were baptized into Christ, we see that it wasn't always before a crowd. Sometimes it was administered in relative privacy. The Ethiopian eunuch, the Philippian jailer are two examples of that. No biblical writer suggests we are baptized for the same reason as Jesus. Matthew again tells us Jesus was baptized to fulfill all righteousness. I will add this caveat, however. To be found righteous in God's sight, we must be baptized into Christ. If there's any connection, the connection, it seems to me, would be Jesus was being obedient, and we need to be obedient. But we need to understand that our baptism connects us with Christ, and it's for the forgiveness of our sins. It is in baptism that we are clothed with Christ, clothed with his righteousness. You're all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, or have been clothed with Christ. And we must be clothed with Christ in order to be found righteous in God's sight. So with the baptism of Jesus, he was formally introduced to John to make his identity fully clear, and by John then to Israel. The Father and the Son audibly and visually confirmed that Jesus was who he claimed to be. He's the Son of God. He's the promised Messiah. And Jesus demonstrated his desire to serve and to fulfill all righteousness. The baptism of Jesus is significant to you and to me today, not that we are baptized for the same reason as Jesus, but as confirmation that he was and is the Messiah and that he fulfilled all righteousness. By application, he did display the attitude that should be true of all of his followers. I have come to do my Father's will. I enjoy William Barclay's commentary. And I notice that William Barclay suggests that for Jesus, the baptism was four things. I want to highlight these four things. Number one, he says it was for the moment, it was the moment of decision. From birth to about age 30, we don't have much information at all about the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 2 tells us about when he went with his family to Jerusalem, to the temple. And you remember when his family was leaving, Jesus stayed behind and his family didn't know it. And he was in the temple talking with the scribes, the experts in the law. And when his parents finally found him, his response was, "Know you not that I must be about my Father's business?" That's only a small snapshot of Jesus, his life, from birth to about age 30. Jesus knows that the cross is coming. And it's at his baptism, this is when the timeline is being fulfilled. And there seems to be a timeline as you study the life of Jesus. And he'll say things like, "The time had not yet come, and I have come, and but for this time I have come." And he's following a master plan, and it is the master's plan. In his baptism, he's becoming public in his announcement that he is the Messiah. It was divine confirmation to John, and now it's the moment of decision. Number two is the moment of identification. Again, John now knows clearly, beyond the shadow of a doubt, that Jesus is the Messiah. He saw the Spirit descending upon him like a dove. And he'd been told by God that would be what would identify him as the one who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. John knew it now. It was divinely confirmed. Now the whole world was about to know more profoundly. Number three, it was the moment of approval. This is, I guess, what really jumped out at me about Mark's account of the baptism of Jesus. As Mark tells the story, this was a public experience, yes, but a personal experience for Jesus. I want to highlight a difference between Matthew's account and Mark's account and give you a theory. Matthew's account, a voice came from heaven and said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." But look with me at Mark's account again. A voice came from heaven, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Not spoken so much to the crowd that may have been around, not so much necessarily for John, but the voice speaks directly to Jesus. "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Here's what I think about when I read that. I wonder, and I'm wondering here, did Jesus need to hear that? Did Jesus need to hear that from his heavenly Father? "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." And the reason why I ask that, Jesus was divine. He was also human. Speaking with one of my children recently, Jesus, I've heard it said through the years, 100% divine, 100% human. And I can't explain that. I can't fully wrap my mind around that. But I accept it from Scripture. I wonder, does this indicate something that the human side of Jesus needed to hear? And I remind you that there was the human side because Jesus got hungry. He got thirsty. Jesus was tempted. We'll study about that next week. Jesus got tired. Jesus had his struggles. If you want evidence of that, read about Jesus in the garden. Jesus had his struggles. I wonder, was Jesus encouraged by hearing that voice from heaven? You are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. At the onset of his earthly ministry, he receives, he hears, he has visual confirmation, the approval of his Father. Perhaps his Father's words were an encouragement to him, as well as a sign to John and to us. Number four, it was the moment of equipment, William Barclay says. It was at this time that the Holy Spirit descended upon him. Here's some questions I've been thinking about. Was Jesus at this point empowered to do miracles? And you say, well, wait a second. He was the Son of God. Didn't he always have that ability? And my answer would be, show me from the Scripture. And again, all you see from his birth until about age 30, it's silent except for that episode in Luke chapter 2 at the age of 12. And there's some stories outside of Scripture that suggest that Jesus performed miracles as a child. But as far as the record goes, it appears that he only started doing miracles when after his baptism, after the Spirit descended upon him. My question is, was he at this point empowered to do miracles? Did the Holy Spirit, his descending upon him, was that similar to what happened to the apostles, perhaps on a lesser scale, on the day of Pentecost? Was it at his baptism and the Spirit descending upon him that he was empowered for his earthly ministry? Was it, in fact, a moment of equipment for the Son of God now to perform these miracles that would confirm the word that he preached? I realize I posed questions as we studied this, but I want to look at these four things. And perhaps these four things, in many ways, not in all, but in many ways, baptism is the same for us. It's the moment of decision. It's a personal decision. No one can force us. It must come from our own response of faith. As Ananias said to Saul, why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized. Wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. Saul, you've got to make that choice. And if we decide to be baptized, it's going to be because we decided to do so. It's a moment of decision. It's a moment of decision. It's making a statement. It's not only for the forgiveness of our sins, but we're proclaiming in our baptism that we're committing our lives to following him. It's a moment of decision. It's a moment of identification. In baptism, New Testament baptism, we're identifying with Christ. We are connected to him and with him. Know ye not that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried with him in baptism. We're raised with him to walk in newness of life. We're connected with Christ. We're identified with him. It is the moment of approval, in that it is at our baptism that we are born into God's family. Now we belong to him. God says, you are mine and I love you. You belong to me now. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit, Paul says, Romans 8, that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Romans 8, 16 and 17. And perhaps at our baptism, it's also the moment of equipment. We receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, Acts 2, 38. No, we're not empowered to perform miracles like Jesus and the apostles. But are we empowered to do all that God has commanded us? Like, by the Spirit, put to death the deeds of the body. Romans 8, 13. I think about Paul's prayer for the Christians at Ephesus. For this reason, I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. God comes in. His Spirit indwells the child of God. And we're strengthened with might through the Spirit in the inner man, Paul says. So in some ways, it appears that our baptism, for us also, is the moment of equipment. God helping us to fulfill His will. Jesus did not need baptism because He was without sin. He was baptized because it was the Father's will for man at that time, just as it is today. Should we who are sinners dare hesitate to do the Father's will regarding baptism for the remission of sins? If you haven't been baptized into Christ, I want to ask you what Ananias asked Saul. Why are you waiting? Arise and be baptized, wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. If you need to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, we hope and pray that you'll do that even tonight. If it's your desire for the prayers of the church, as one who has been baptized into Christ, has become a child of God, but has wandered away and need to come back home, we hope and pray that you'll make that known if you desire the prayers of the church to that end. If you're subject to the invitation of Jesus, please come right now as we stand and sing.